No one else would ever.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Jamie. I am the pastor here at our English ministry. I just want to welcome all of you for joining us today. Welcome to Canaan. Welcome to our special Christmas celebration service. So really happy to see all of you. And we have an exciting program for you today. We're going to sing lots of songs. We're going to listen to people sharing. We're going to watch a youth ministry video that I'm actually very, very nervous about. Because I've not even seen it. I don't know if it's appropriate. I hope it is. And we're gonna think about the meaning of Christmas. And you might be asking, hey, why are we celebrating Christmas when it's still like 2 weeks away, right? That's because in the next 2-3 weeks, there will be a lot of people that will be traveling. So this is like the time when we can get everybody together to celebrate Christmas. So that's why. And last week was the beginning of something called Advent. And Advent is a time of season for Christians, for Christ followers, to wait and prepare our hearts for the coming of our Lord Jesus. And as a tradition, in Advent, we would light up these candles. And last week, the theme was on hope. So I'm going to light up the hope candle. Ooh, speaker is right on top of me. Okay. Let's hope this works. There we go. So that symbolizes hope. And today, today is the second week of Advent, and our theme is on faith. And we're going to talk about faith a little bit today. Okay. There we go. So I'm lighting up the second candle representing faith. And if you join us for the next 2 weeks, our theme will focus on joy, and then the week after that, we'll focus on peace. And then the night before Christmas, we're going to focus on the theme of purity and light. Okay? So before I hand it off to our praise and worship team, let me just do a quick prayer for us. Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful day that you've given to us. When we come and celebrate Christmas together, I just pray that you will give us a spirit of joy, of hope, of faith, and open our hearts so that we can reflect on the meaning of Christmas. As we sing these songs, as we listen to the sharings, Father, I just pray that you'll be with us and that you'll guide us. And we thank you, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Merry Christmas. Let's all stand up. So, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to celebrate Christmas with us. We bring you the first song, Mary's Boy Child. Child, nothing, a single room inside, and in the
better not in the stable or for none. In the manger, food and dark, Mary's little boy child was born. Oh, now hear the angels sing, the new king's born today. And we shall live forevermore because of Christmas. Say it one more time. Oh, now hear the angels sing, the new king's born today. And we shall live forevermore because of Christmas Day.
Celebrate this Christmas Day. Angel we have heard on high. Everybody knows this song, right?
Angels we have heard. Sweetly singing o'er the plains and the mountains, every part echoing their joyous sing. Gloria in excelsis Deo.
And celebrate you for your coming, for your salvation to us. Thank you for your salvation. Thank you for your precious coming that day just for us. May we know the reason. May we remember this Christmas Day is for you. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right. Can you hear me now? Okay. So now we're going to have a time of sharing testimony. Yes. And first of all, William, if you can put up the slide here. First of all, I'd like to just kind of introduce the person who's going to be sharing this first testimony with us. His name is Anton Chang. And for those of you that don't know Anton, Anton and his wife, Hannah, they have a really adorable daughter right here, Clara. And how many of you have used Uber before? How many of you have used Uber? Okay. So, you know, when you use Uber to call the Uber, right? That application, you see little cars moving around? That's what Anton does. That's his job, you know, as a designer. So, has nothing to do with his testimony, but I just want to just give that little insight. So, without further ado, let me invite Anton to share his testimony with us.
Hi. Hi, sir. Can you hear me okay? Cool. So, like Pastor Jamie said, my name is Anton. I'd like to share a story with you guys, something that I have experienced about myself. And also, but I think mainly is happening to my sister. I think what I can start, this is a long time ago. It's around 1995, 1996. My family have just moved to the Bay Area. I was about 14, my sister was 13, my brother like 10-ish. My father was actually working in Hong Kong at the time, so it was just my mom taking care of the three of us, teenagers. And now I have my own kids. I was like, wow, that was amazing, the thing that she did. So my mother is a Catholic for a long, long time, but she never really have us going to church or anything. So our faith wasn't really that. We didn't really get introduced a lot. However, when we came into the States, my mom met a neighbor of ours, and then they said, "Hey, we got, we want to invite you guys to come to church." And of course, my mom was like, "Yeah, I have three kids, and then they can all go." And so that's how I was introduced more. Let's say, more to Christ. But we only just started, I don't know, maybe about just a couple weeks or even just a couple months, right? And we were at Chinese for Christ, Berkeley, of course. I really loved it there because it was just a fellowship, people at your own age, same background, people who just came from Taiwan and, you know, who are young at the same age, made a lot of friends over there. So without any of that, so this is kind of like the background where the timeline is. And I want to introduce you a mushroom. So this mushroom is called Amanita philobodius. I don't know. It's hard to pronounce. You know this fungus. But there's another name that probably would be a little bit easy to remember. It's called death cap. So this is a extremely poisonous mushroom. It literally has death in it. We have stumbled upon some of them, and we got really sick. I don't want to tell you like how we got them. That's probably another complicated story, but essentially it's free food. have you guys seen, you guys all have Google, can you just search for death cap real quick? If you can look at some of the pictures, the death cap mushroom is like white, It looks perfectly fine. It's not suspicious at all. Like, if you think about poisonous mushrooms, all you think about is like those, you know, Mario mushrooms, red with white dots on it. But no, this looks perfectly okay to eat, right? So I really don't blame the guy who picked it or my mom who prepared it for us. Okay. Anyway, we got really sick after we ate a mushroom that night, and it was the worst feeling I ever experienced in my life. It was diarrhea, throwing up all night, and after you drain everything from your body, you still want to yak, and until you start puking bile. It was the worst, and then you also start hallucinating. I remember I was in bed. I got out of the bed. I kind of crawled to the bathroom, trying to, you know, throw up one more time, and then I realized, still in bed. So that's how bad it was. We called friends from church, saying that, hey, we're super sick, help us. They took us to the hospital. The hospital thought this is just a regular food poisoning, so they actually sent us back. But even until the next day, whatever we eat, whatever we drink, we just throw them right out. So we're still very, very sick. So then we have to go back to the hospital. This time when we go back to hospital, I'm pretty sure by that point they have discovered that how badly this mushroom that we ate is, so that they have treated us properly this time. And my sister actually got sick the worst because she actually was so bad that it was fatal to her. She needed a liver transplant almost immediately, or else she'll die. I think it's probably within 24 hours. And you know, like if anybody who has any organ transplant experience, they'll know that finding an organ that matches your blood type and the healthiness of that organ is almost impossible. You have to be on this longest wait list. That is if you are actually in healthier condition that you can wait. But my sister can't wait. She only got hours. Okay. And I don't know the timeline between this because I was also very sick. But at some point, my sister, I think through prayers, everybody in our church is praying for us. And it was on the newspaper. I'm pretty sure that everybody, some of you guys know, actually, if you're back, if you remember back in 1995. But my sister, she had a vision. She saw this brightest light, blinding bright light. And she heard a voice. The voice says, "Your time is not yet." And again, I don't know the timeline, but almost just before it was too late for her to do any kind of surgery, we got a notice that a young boy around her age got into the accident, and he died immediately. And he is an organ donor. And we were able to match his blood type with my sister's. And we got a liver, essentially. They literally flew the liver with helicopter to the hospital and gave my sister surgery. And this surgery is actually a very special procedure. You don't change out the liver entirely. You kind of cut hers in half and then put the other half, the healthier half, attached to it. so that the poison balances out. And later on, the theory is that you take the foreign liver out, and then your liver will go back in, and then you'll be healthier. This way, so that your body doesn't reject the new liver. And it worked. It was, for me, this is nothing short of a miracle. And this will be the first miracle I ever experienced. It was the one thing that, for me, I can understand that God really exists and God is real. And I think, even this is an unfortunate event, but I feel like it is really fortunate for me to actually experience it. And I'm really hoping that this story can actually help people who haven't experienced miracle to understand how real this is. Let me see. Okay. So, my sister, she lived through this. Of course, she believed in Jesus right away, get baptized as well. I think my path really started from here. I wouldn't say that I actually also got baptized right away or anything, but that's another story. But I really think that this is the beginning of my path as well. Now my sister, she is married, and this is her baby, Samson. He is just a couple of weeks older than my baby. Yes. And she's really living a good life, and it's all because of this miracle. That's it.
When they're getting ready. Thank you for the testimony. So today is not the day for you to change your liver, and it's not the day for you to see the light. But today is the day you're going to see another light that changed your life. Today is a time for you to know Jesus more, and He is going to talk to you. He is going to touch your heart. Right now is the ukulele ladies. Okay, ukulele ladies, raise your hand, because we have some not lady here. Okay, so this lady has been practicing. We all learn together, and we welcome people to join us. If you're not a lady, you want to join us, then we'll change your name to ukulele sister and brothers. Okay, so yeah, we have 12 members, but some people never show up. And then okay, so that's funny, huh? So are we all good? So I'm going to ask you guys to help me do the click. Can you all do this? 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3. Keep doing it, please.
No prayer for a bath. The little Lord Jesus laid down His sweet head. The stars in the bright sky looked down where He lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay.
Can you do it? Very good.
The cattle are lowing, the baby away. by my bedside till morning is night.
It's Christmas, let's sing it.
It's Christmas, angels are singing. I know the reason, Savior is born. Children in thy tender care, and fit us from heaven to live with thee there.
Go tell it on the mountain.
Go tell it on the mountain. Over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain. That Jesus Christ is born.
One more time. Everybody, Jesus Christ is born.
Thank you, ukulele sisters. I put ukulele sisters, but apparently it's ukulele ladies. So they have matured. Wonderful. So now I'm going to invite Felicia to give a second testimony, but before she comes up, I'll just give a brief introduction. Felicia and her husband is Jason, and they have two beautiful daughters, Valerie and Vicky. And as a profession, Felicia is a technical writer, and she enjoys writing. Writing is kind of her hobby, but I think I'm stealing a little bit of a thunder there. So I'm going to just invite Felicia up to just share her testimony. So Felicia? There she is. Okay.
I'm a wife, a mom, and a career woman who's lived and worked in the Bay Area for the last 20 years. Today, I'm delighted to share my story of seeking God in the Silicon Valley. And before I get into that, a little bit about my background. I grew up in Taiwan. Both my parents were teachers. The values they instilled in me were academic excellence and independence. My mom said, "Take care of yourself. And don't mind other people's business. And don't do drugs," said my dad when I was in high school. My dad has a master's degree in English literature from National Taiwan University. He taught classes like Shakespeare at universities in Taiwan and knew the Bible inside out. Later on in my life, I realized that the knowledge of the Bible alone does not bring anyone closer to God. Being a good person goes beyond not doing bad things. At the age of 19, I came to the States with two luggages to pursue my dream of becoming a writer. everything just panned out the way I had planned. I got my bachelor's and master's in journalism from a dream school in the East Coast. After I graduated, I moved to the Bay Area and became a newspaper editor. 2.5 years later, I switched my career to a high-tech company, still doing writing and editing. In 2004, God got a hold of me. In 2005, I got baptized. In the same year, Jason and I got married. And the day before our wedding, we celebrated my birthday. It was a double happiness, said the pastor who officiated our wedding. After we got married, both Jason and I served at the church. I sang in Sunday worship. We led Bible studies and organized church activities. Ooh, life was good. Then our first daughter, Valerie, was born. All of a sudden, she became the center of our universe. In the meantime, Jason got admitted into the part-time MBA school at Santa Clara University. Before I knew it, we stopped serving at church. For a good 6-8 months, the only time we'd be at church was on Sundays. I continued my full-time job. Outside of my work, I thoroughly enjoyed Valerie. I made all of her baby food with healthy and organic ingredients. Yeah, I spent a ton of money at Whole Foods. I also learned how to use the manual mode of the SLR cameras and bought expensive lenses so I could catch her cutest moments, even in low lighting. One Saturday afternoon, Jason and I were playing with her on the floor in her room. She was trying to walk by holding onto the crib rails. Jason and I just watched her like a hawk. Whenever she was about to fall down on the soft carpet, we would catch her right away. Whenever her head was about to bump the crib, we would catch her right away. 3 hours into it, Jason and I were exhausted, and Valerie was still flashing her sweet smiles and practicing her baby talks. Then my phone rang. It was a dear sister from church. She asked, "Are you guys going to the fellowship tonight? It was about to start in 30 minutes. And I said, "Yeah." But an hour later, we were still home because we were just dead tired. That night, we skipped the fellowship again. We had the perfect excuses to not attend church, didn't we? Don't they know that we have a baby? That Jason is going to school part-time while working full-time? That I work full-time too? Family is what matters the most. I don't need God at this point of my life. We're just too busy. We try to justify ourselves and then just settle there. About 2 months later, the same church sister called. She asked whether I'd like to sing on the worship band. Now that Valerie was a little older, I just remember a warm feeling spread all over me. I told the sister that I would love to sing on the worship team. I remember vividly that the Holy Spirit moved me toward God through the caring of the sister. I thank God for letting me experience that spiritual moment. So we went back to serving at church. When the team practiced the praise songs on Saturday mornings, we would bring Valerie along. Valerie would be in her stroller watching the team on the stage or playing with in the nursery, which was just nearby the sanctuary. Even after we had our second daughter, Victoria, we continued to bring the kids to the music practices and fellowships. This time it was Victoria who was in the stroller. So both the girls witnessed what it's like to worship and fellowship with one another in Christ. Going out of our little bubble opened up our eyes to see beyond our own family. Serving at church changes me. It directs my attention away from myself and the kids to the needs of others. God not only uses me, my skills, and my time to bless others, but also help me grow through praying and working with other people. It's not something I could do alone without this faith community. For us, worship doesn't only happen at church. In our family worship time is on Sunday evenings. We make God's word the center of our focus. So currently we're going through the book of Mark. The kids, Jason and I, would take turns reading the scripture. Then we talk about our takeaways from the passage. We would guide the kids with questions. Then we finish with prayer requests. So at this time, during each one of us would just freely express our desires, our thoughts, or troubles with each other. You know, working and living in the Bay Area, we often complain that our time is limited. Yet during this worship time, we just keep on talking as if time is infinite. It gives me and Jason an opportunity to understand our kids better at the heart level and respond to their needs and fears with God's word. It allows our kids to give their hearts to us so that when they're away from us and getting picked up and transported by their after-school driver, they know with confidence that they are loved and protected. And because we invite Jesus into our conversation, we bond with Jesus and each other in the deepest possible way. Joshua 24:15 says, "As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. That is what my family and I will do too." On careers, God is the best coach and therapist ever. So Jamie introduced me as a tech writer. I'm now a content strategist. I used to be a technical writer. So as a content strategist, so you're like, okay, just back up a little. What do you do? So all the words that you see and interact with in your favorite apps, ranging from Instagram, Spotify, to your bank websites and TurboTax, are designed and written by people in my profession. Language is political. People feel like they can write. And I feel like people assume who I am and what I do. So whenever I interact with someone at work, it is an opportunity for me to redefine what it means to interact with me. I've learned from God that I shouldn't assume other people understand my intent, and that I need to look at other people from the lens of God's purpose. That requires a lot of wisdom, strength, and fresh perspectives. And the sermons, Sunday school lessons, prayers, and the brothers and sisters in the church provide me exactly what I need in every situation. God also has an amazing way in guiding through the good, the bad, and the ugly at work. I'm talking about colleagues who wronged or hurt me, an employee who refuses to be managed, a boss that I had my utmost respect for, but later did something that made me completely lose my trust in them. I'm talking about working with people who are full of themselves. As you know, there are many of them in the valley. And maybe I come across this one to some people. You know, I at least I know I've rubbed some people the wrong way before. And if it may seem like most people have it all together at work, they don't. People think they're strong, but deep inside, they're fragile. I have colleagues who suffer from anxiety and depression. People committed suicides, just like the Facebook engineer, because of high stress and unreasonable expectations for performance. I have a content strategist friend who works at a major startup in San Francisco. She has a young son. A month ago, she confided in me that her boss told me to leave the company because she couldn't keep up with all the work and the emails that were still going on after 9 p.m., even though she had consistently worked 12 hours a day. I feel the pressure to perform too, but I'm grateful that I have God in my life, that I'm able to have constant dialogues with him, that I know I don't have to seek anybody's approval at work because God is my ultimate boss. God has taught me so many things through passages like this one in Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Now I understand that in total submission to Christ, I have the total freedom to dream, fail, and hope, because I know He's always got my back and has the best plan for me. So yes, there are so many demands on all of us trying to do well in the Silicon Valley, and so little time to think about the real meaning of life. To me, taking on life's challenges with God has given me so much joy and peace. It's just so much better than fighting alone. I want to share my favorite Bible verses in Matthew 7:7-8. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who also asks, for everyone who also receives, the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. As Pastor Jamie once said, the more space you open up and you give to God, the more goodness, grace, and unimaginable blessings you'll receive from Him. So if you don't currently have a relationship with God, I invite you to let Him into your life. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Shirley, and my family, we attend a group here at the church. We call ourselves TGIF, Truth and Grace and Fellowship. We meet usually first and third Friday nights, and some of us are going to sing and play hand chimes for you. Hark the Herald Angels Sing. I know some people are kind of nervous, so please smile at us and help us feel like more relaxed so we can smile back. We're going to play and sing verse 1 and verse 2, and when we go back to verse 1, I invite you all to sing along with us. Okay? All right.
Hello. My name is Nathaniel. Everyone calls me Sanyo. I'm the youth pastor for now. my contract just ended, so we'll see. But we put together a youth video, Christmas video. Jamie kept asking us to present something. I'm like, man, I don't trust these youth to present something. And I don't trust myself. I don't like to do work or anything that takes any effort. And so it's one or the other. Either I get the youth kids who I don't trust to do it, or, you know, and so I just directed them to make a video. If there's anything inappropriate in this video, it's because of me. You'll see. We're calling it a very Chinese Christmas video. And if you get to know me a little bit more, you'll see I find certain kind of humor funny. That might not be the most appropriate. Inappropriate. And so if there's any offense taken, I'll...
That was pretty funny. So thank you, youth, for doing that. Fantastic. So just as a way of introduction, our church, we have several different ministries. This is the English ministry. We also have a Taiwanese ministry, as well as a Mandarin ministry, and also children ministry. So today we're very happy to have our little worship to come here and present a song called What a Special Night. Let's give them a big round of applause. this, you know, what we have here, but a lot of kids. We have a lot of kids. Our children ministry, I think it's up to like 100 kids now. So just praise God for all this blessing. Now, if you are here for the first time, or if this is the first time that you came to church, or if you come to church, you know, very occasionally, then perhaps you've noticed something different from the songs that we sang, from the sharing by Anton and Felicia, from all these other presentations. Hopefully you saw something different. Most people in this world, their life consists of things like, you know, going to school, going to work, make money, spend time with family, taking care of kids, going exercising, having fun, sleep, eat. Those are the things that fill, you know, what a lot of people's lives. But did you notice from Anton and Felicia sharing that their lives are connected to something far greater, right? Anton shared about the death cap, that experience that was almost fatal, and how God reached in to Anton's sister and said, this is not the end for you. And for Felicia, right, you saw how her life, her work, is kind of now centered around God. So from Anton and Felicia's experiences, their lives are not just filled with the daily routines, but their lives are filled with the fullness of God, a recognition of a greater power. They realize something a lot of people in this world don't realize, that there is another reality. There's another reality that is just as real as the things that you see, touch, smell, taste, hear around you. And that reality is the spiritual reality. So let me try to illustrate something here. So here's a circle that I drew. And let's say within the circle are things, all the living things, the commonalities of all the living things. You know, what the living things have in common. And there are three. I think we would all agree that life comes from life, right? You came from your mother's womb. A tree used to be a seed that came from another tree. So life comes from life. The second commonality is that life needs nutrients in order to survive. A vegetable needs soil and water and sun and oxygen. And so do we as human beings. We need food, we need water, we need a lot of things in order for us to survive, right? The third thing that we all have in common is that life will deteriorate over time. There are some trees that live for hundreds of years and some live for thousands of years. But even the oldest tree in the world will deteriorate. It will decline and it will die. And just like us, we're born, we grow, and eventually our bodies will decline over time. So now when you think about these commonalities, that life comes from life, and you go back to the very earliest life, does the very earliest life come from within the circle or outside of the circle? Think about that. How many of you have seen the movie The Sound of Music? Sound of Music, a lot of people. It's a classic. So if you haven't seen it, totally you should watch it. Remember the Von Trapp family? Remember Maria, the nun who became the wife? You know, she sang a song that is deeply theological. She sang, nothing comes from nothing, nothing ever could, right? Right, so that's the song. Nothing comes from nothing. Nothing comes from nothing. So when you go back to the earliest life, can that come from nothing? No. It's got to come from outside of the circle. What is outside of the circle? Outside of the circle is something that doesn't come from anything. Outside of the circle is something that doesn't need anything to survive. Outside of the circle is something that doesn't deteriorate over time. And what does that remind you of? God. You know, this is the Bible. And this Bible has 66 different writings. 66 different writings that we call books. And it's written by more than 40 different authors over a span of 1,500 years. This book is inspired by God. This book talks about the interaction between God and us as humans. And this book contains the things that God wants to say. say to you. So if you really want to know what God wants to say to you, you should seriously think about reading this book. So what does this book say about God? So in the book of Exodus in the Bible, in chapter 3, verse 14, there's a guy by the name of Moses, and Moses asks God, how do I introduce you to these people? And God says, just tell them, I am who I am. I am who I am. Think about that. You know, that is the ultimate statement of self-existence, of self-sufficiency, of eternally constant. God is self-existent. He doesn't come from anything. God is self-sufficient. He doesn't need anything to survive. And God is eternally constant. He will not deteriorate over time. And this Bible also tells us in Isaiah 45, the book Isaiah 45, verse 12, God says, I made the earth and created man on it. It was my hands that stretched out the heavens and I commanded all their hosts. God is the one who created this universe. God is the one who created the earth and gave us life. So let's think about life. Okay? I think we all have something in common in life. You know, we grow, we go to school, we graduate, you know, we find a job. A lot of people then get married and have kids and have grandkids, and then you grow old and your body starts to deteriorate, and then you leave this world. You pass away. That's a human life cycle, right? You know, there's a really good, interesting analogy to this. It's called, what time is it in your life? What time is it in your life? So let's say we all live to be 80 years old. And if you get out of bed at 7:15 and you go to bed at 11:30 p.m. So let's say at 7:15, that represents the time that you were born. And 11:30 p.m., that represents the time when you pass away. So what time is it in your life? If you're 10 years old, you're at 9:17 a.m. If you're 20 years old, you're at 11:19 a.m. If you're 30 years old, that's 1:21 p.m. So think about what time is it in your life. If you're 40 years old, you're at 3:23 p.m. If you're 50 years old, you're at 5:24 p.m., 60 years old, 7:26 p.m., 70 years old, 9:28 p.m., and finally, 80 years old, you're 11:30 p.m. What time is it in your life? I can tell you, for me, my life is past 4 p.m., getting close to 5 p.m., and it's starting to get dark. I can see, you know, in this room, there's a lot of people, you're still in the morning, right? In the morning, that's when you're most energetic. You have a lot of things that you want to do. And a lot of you are kind of in that early afternoon, 1 to 2 o'clock. And when the sun is still bright, everything is good. But you know, as you go through the day, you get to the afternoon, it gets tiring, right? And then the sun goes down, you're tired, and you're preparing. All of a sudden, you know, it's bedtime. I can tell you, it's not fun being past 4 p.m. And I can feel it. You know, my knees aren't the way they used to be. I have occasional lower back pains. Mimi knows I'm starting to have some hearing problem. And I have vision problems. Like when I eat food, it gets this close. I don't know what I'm eating. You know, 老花眼, right? It's like that. And my hair has fallen out. And I have all these problems. You know, the list goes on and on and on. So it's not fun being after 4 p.m. So what time is it in your life? When you think about life from this perspective, and you realize that 11:30 p.m. is just around the corner. It's going to come sooner or later. It will come. So the key question that you have to ask yourself is, are you prepared for 11:30 p.m.? Are you prepared for 11:30 p.m.? Do you think about 11:30 p.m.? The time when you're going to leave this world, the time when your body clock, you know, we all have a body clock. That's our heartbeat. That it's going to stop ticking one day. Are you prepared for that? And the most common thing that I hear from people is they don't even think about it, right? Most people never think about 11:30 p.m. Most people never think about the time when they're going to leave this world. And there's a reason. And it's written in the Bible. The Bible tells us why we don't like to think about 11:30 p.m. And that is recorded in the book Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, verse 11. God has put eternity into man's heart. God put eternity into every one of your hearts. You have a desire for things that are eternal. You want to live eternally, right? And someone once said that there is a God-shaped box within every one of us that only God can fill. So this past Monday was Cyber Monday. And then a few days prior to that was Black Friday. How many of you went shopping? That's it. Wow, this is really an Asian culture, right? So I'm sure a lot more people that went shopping, you know, than the ones that raised their hand. When you think about the things that you bought, when you think about the things that you own, I think you'll agree with me that they may make you happy once in a while, right? They may make you happy for a period of time. You got a great deal. But over time, the things that you have are not going to satisfy you, because those things are temporary. And the truth is, what is temporary can never fill the gap of eternity, right? The things that you have, they're not going to satisfy you. So what is temporary can never fill the gap of eternity. There's a great theologian by the name of C.S. Lewis. He says, "If I find in myself desires which nothing in this world can satisfy, the only logical explanation is that I was made for another world." How true is that? C.S. Lewis nailed it. We were made for another world. You were made for another world. And that's what the Bible says. Let's go back in history. Think about our earliest ancestor. The Bible says that our earliest ancestor, Adam and Eve, they were created in a different world, a world that was pristine, a world that was without corruption, a world that was perfect. And they were meant to be there with God forever. But something happened. They rebelled against God. They wanted to be God themselves, so they rebelled against God, and this relationship between creation and the Creator were severed, right? And that's what happened. And this rebellion is called sin. So what does the Bible say about sin? What is sin? Recorded in Romans 3:23, it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." So sin is to fall short of the glory of God. Sin is that you're not able to live up to the standard of God. That's what sin is. And it says, all have sinned. So because our earliest ancestors have sinned, we all have sinned. We all have sinned. And you can probably kind of feel that. Have you ever done anything that you know is wrong? Purposefully? Can you relate to that? Like, do you feel that a bit of helplessness, that you just cannot stop doing what you know is wrong? That is the manifestation of sin. So I think all of us can relate to that, right? And the Bible says, because we have sin, sin leads to death. For the wages of sin is death. And that's why we experience the 11:30 p.m. That's why one day our heartbeat is going to stop ticking. You know, that's what the Bible says. So why am I telling you all the sad news, right? Because I don't want to tell you sad news. I want to tell you good news. This is why we celebrate Christmas. This is why we're here, to understand what Christmas is all about. Christmas is not about, you know, exchanging gifts. Christmas is not about Santa Claus. Christmas is not about having, you know, vacations in some really fun places. That's not what Christmas is about. Christmas is about the birth of the most important person, the most impactful person who has ever lived. And that person is Jesus, Jesus Christ. If you have a watch, a digital watch, it will tell you that the time is what? The year is 2019, right? Do you know what 2019 represents? 2019 A.D., A.D. is a Latin word for Anno Domini. It means the year of the Lord or the year of God, because the Lord and God is used interchangeably. It's the year of God. It means something happened 2019 years ago that God did. And we know that's supposed to represent the birth of Jesus. Jesus came to us 2019 years ago. So if we have, you know, this guy, Jesus, who we set our watch based on, isn't he someone important that we should know? What does the Bible say about Jesus? Well, In Isaiah 9:16, a prophet by the name of Isaiah, who predated Jesus by more than 500 years, okay, so he lived before Jesus more than 500 years, and this is what he says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." So Jesus is the child that was born. He's the son that was given. So he came as a human being, fully human. But look at what he's going to be called. Mighty God. He is both human and God. He is a God-man. And Jesus came to bring the fullness of God to us. And what is the fullness of God? It's Wonderful Counselor, someone who is with you, who guides you, who protects you. He is the Mighty God, someone who is all-powerful. He is the Everlasting Father. He is eternal. He will never deteriorate. And He is the Prince of Peace. He comes to bring peace. Jesus came to bring the fullness of God 2019 years ago. So what was Jesus' mission here? Oh, here's another verse. This verse in Colossians 1:15 was written after Jesus came. So it says, "For by him, Jesus, all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him." Jesus is the one who created the universe. So can you even imagine that? The one who created this infinite universe with billions of stars came to us 2019 years ago as a helpless little baby. Can you even picture that? I can't even wrap my mind around that, right? That's the ultimate symbol of humility. The Creator became a human being. So why did Jesus come to us? Jesus came to deal with the sin problem. The sin problem from our earliest ancestors. Jesus came to defeat sin and restore our relationship with God. That's why he came. Right? And how did he do that? Through the cross. So Jesus came to die on the cross. And because he died on the cross, he paid the price for our sins. So if you believe in Jesus, then your sins are forgiven and your relationship with God is restored. Now you might be like, hey, why this is Christmas. Why are we talking about, like, you know, Jesus' death and all that? Shouldn't we just be focused on life? Well, the answer is Christmas has double meanings. I don't know if you realize Christmas has double meanings. When we think of Christmas, we tend to think of it's the birth of Jesus. But you know, the word Christmas, you know what that represents? Christmas represents Christ's Mass. And Mass, the literal translation, is death sacrifice. So when you say Christmas, you're actually saying Christ's death sacrifice. When you say Merry Christmas, you're saying Merry Christ's death sacrifice. That doesn't sound very good, right? It is intended. Christmas is intended to celebrate the birth of Christ, but at the same time remind us of what Jesus has done. That's the meaning of Christmas. We are to be reminded of what Jesus has done. He came to die on the cross so that when we follow him, we are a new creation. Our sins are forgiven and that, you know, our relationship with God is restored. But even better than that, because after Jesus died, 3 days later, he conquered death. He was victorious over death. So he is still alive. And you know what that means? That means that if you follow Jesus, yes, that 11:30 p.m. is going to come, but you will be like Jesus, conquering death. You will be resurrected, and you will have eternal life. And that's what that means. And this is all summarized in the book of John 3:16. And it says, "For God so loved the world." God loves every single one of you. God loves you. And that's why he gave his only son, Jesus, who came to bring the fullness of God to us and then to sacrifice himself for us, so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. You know what that means? That means you no longer have to be afraid of 11:30 p.m. Because when 11:30 p.m. comes and you leave this world, you know, 7:15 a.m. is going to come again. 7:15 a.m. comes again, and that sun will never go down. And that is the promise of God. And that is the good news, right? That is the great news. So friends, I share this with you because I want you to see that there is another reality that is just as real as the things that you feel, that you see, you hear, you touch, you taste, right? You smell around you. And that reality is the spiritual reality. And that's the reality that Anton and Felicia shared about. Experiencing God, right? And that is the reality that gives us purpose in life. So friends, that is the reality that answers the biggest questions in life. These four questions are the questions that every single person that lives need to answer. Where did I come from? What is my purpose in life? How should I live my life? And where am I going? Those are the four big questions of life that we all need to think about. We all need to answer. So, if you, you know, do not know Jesus yet, if you are not yet following Jesus, then I would encourage you to go on a spiritual quest to know the truth. Go on a quest to know the truth for yourself, to know the answer to these four big questions of life. Because when you find the truth will set you free. So, friends, over the next 2 weeks, Pastor Nathaniel and I will continue the series on the birth of Jesus. So we're going to dive deeper to help you understand the meaning of Jesus, right? And the significance of why he came to us. So I hope that you will continue to join us, join this church, this wonderful community of brothers and sisters, and come on this journey, this spiritual journey with us to know who Jesus is. So that's my invitation to you. So with that, let me just pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for giving us your word, the Bible. Thank you for giving us your son, Jesus, to deal with the problem of sin so that we can be forgiven. Thank you for loving us. And thank you for giving us this eternal life. And Father, I pray for all the people, especially the people that don't know you yet. I pray that you will reveal yourself to them. You will speak to them and help them to understand the big questions in life, and that you are the answer. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So now I want to welcome new friends. Perhaps we can turn on the lights. I want to welcome new friends, and I want to give you a gift, okay? I want to give you a gift. So ushers, prepare. We're going to hand out gifts. So let's start from our left-hand side. If you are here for the first time, would you please stand up, have either introduce yourself or have somebody else that brought you introduce you. So can I, on the left-hand side? Yes. Just say your name, yeah.
I'm really grateful
well,
for inviting you here.
Welcome, welcome. Yeah. Yeah. That's okay, that's okay. Yeah, would you give Vanessa a gift? Welcome. Anybody else on the left-hand side?
I actually also invite Christine Lin and their parents from Livermore.
Oh, fantastic. Welcome, welcome.
I usually keep in contact with them, so
great.
They've never actually attended this event before, so so I hope it's actually a good experience for them to check it out.
Thank you, Stephanie.
No problem.
Okay. Okay. What about in the middle? Anyone that's here for the first time in the middle? No? A few new faces to English ministry. If this is first time you're here to English ministry, stand up and introduce yourself, please. Yes. Yes. Yes, please stand up.
Hello, everyone. My name is Karen. This is my husband, Holton. We're first time for English service, but we've been to the United States.
Okay. Welcome. So one gift per family, because you only really need one gift per family. Yes. Okay. All right. Anybody else in the middle that's new? What about on the right-hand side? Yes, Ed.
My child has been a friend to Mindy. We were here with me. It's their friend.
Wow. Welcome. Welcome. Okay. Okay. Also, if you are here at English Ministry first time this year, would you stand up? I want to give you the gift too. So if you're here for the first time this year, please stand up. This year. Yes. 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 Chad. Yes. And Christian. Yes. Okay. Now, we still have plenty of gifts. So if you were here in last year, in 2018, for the first time, would you please stand up too? I want to give you the gift. Yes. Yeah. Yes, please stand up so we know who you are. Yes. Esther. Esther. Yes. And Jason and Esther and Tomio. All right. So that's fantastic. Now I want to invite the praise and worship team to come up and lead us into a song of response.
Okay, let's all stand up. Almost forgot. Yeah. What child is this? What child is this who lay to rest? A Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, where shepherd watch are keeping. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guide the angels sing. King of kings, of nations brave.
King, who shepherds God and the angels sing. Hastens to bring Him love, the babe, the Son of Mary.
Mary,
yes, Jesus Christ, the King, who shepherds God and the angels sing. To bring Him love, the babe, the Son of Mary.
One time.
This is Christ the King, who shepherds God and the angels sing. Haste to bring Him love, the babe, the Son of Mary.
Please sit down.
So now is our time of offering. You know, for offering, this is a privilege and a responsibility for Christ's followers to give to God the things that He has given us. So, friends, if you don't know the meaning of offering, then I ask you not to participate, okay? So, can I have the ushers come forward and I'll pray for the offering? Let's pray. Father, we give thanks to You because of the things, the overwhelming blessings that You've given to us. And Father, we pray that through this offering, we would just give out of our heart. And may You use this offering for the glory of Your kingdom so that more people can come to know You, so that Your body may be built up, so that Your salvation be given to more people. And Father, we give thanks to You, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's all rise. O little town of Bethlehem,
do we see tonight? About a deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in the dark streets shining, the everlasting light, the hope and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. Ooh.
Joyful song, joy to the world.
Joy to the world, the Lord is coming. Joy!
the glory to God.
Please be seated. Please be seated. Now is the time of announcements. Can I ask William to flip it to the slide deck? Great. So I'm going to make some announcements today. And, you know, Christmas is a season of giving, right? So our church is involved in